Hey, this is Van Allen Plexico. Before we get started with this episode, I just want to warn you, this was our first attempt at recording a show in a live, open environment with lots of people around talking. So I apologize for the quality of the audio, but some of this is irreplaceable and it's just too good to throw away. So I'm presenting it to you warts and all. You can listen to it and enjoy, and some of it might be clearer, some of it a little more muddled. But we've learned lessons from this, and I promise next time when we do a live show from a convention or something, we will do much better. But in the meantime, this is just a little warning. It gets a little rough in terms of the quality of the audio, but I've got some really neat guests here. And so, all right, here we go. The White Rocket Podcast, episode, I believe, 25, the Alabama Phoenix Festival in Birmingham, which was May 24, 25, and 26, 2013. And in this episode, you'll be hearing from Doc Daryl Osborne, Bobby Nash, David Wright, Mike Gordon of the Earth Station 1 Mothership, Sarah White, and Sean Taylor. So buckle up and enjoy the special episode live from the Alabama Phoenix Festival.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition, 2, 1, 0, we have a liftoff. We have a liftoff and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the Saturn V is moving off the tail. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Books in association with the Earth Station 1 Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm here live today at day 2, Saturday, of the Alabama Phoenix Festival, which is absolutely one of the best sci-fi pop culture conventions in America, in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Cahaba Center. Over the course of the next hour or so, and we don't know how long it will be yet, I will be talking to a number of guests and other folks that I'm running into, old friends and new, here at the convention. So stay tuned for a fun time as we have a variety, a plethora of guests coming on board the White Rocket Show. Our first one will be up in mere moments, so stay tuned. Okay, and first up is Doc Osborne, the most world-famous balloon creature creator at conventions all across America. Doc, I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad to be here.
Very good. And so, how did you get started doing this amazing thing that you do with a balloon?
Well, when I was very young, I really sucked at sports. And so I had to get into other things. I grew up in Southern Kentucky.
Okay.
Didn't do sports at all. Didn't do music at all. So I had to find my own way. So I got involved in the alternate arts, magic, juggling, mechanical, and balloon arts. And I like that. It continued on through school and college, and then the rest is history.
Yeah. Well, the creations that you make at every convention, you seem to top yourself every time. You've done the robot from, was it Boston
Space?
You've got K-9 from Doctor Who. You did a Slimer the Ghost from the Ghostbusters. You did a Pulsar for me that was awesome. I was just so excited. Where do you get your inspiration for all these things, and how do you figure out how to do them physically?
Well, the creation of them actually isn't that hard, just because there's only about 6 or 7 different twists that are used. It's just like origami. You can only fold a piece of paper a certain number of ways. It's knowing the order and how much to fold. So what I do a lot of times is I go to the convention, I see who the guest is, and then I try to determine if there's something related to the guest that I could do that would be cool.
Right. Yeah, and you've done some, I remember you did Captain Marvel and the Shazam actor.
Captain Marvel, like I said, we did the Lost in Space, and we had a couple of original cast members from Lost in Space at the convention.
Yes.
And we have some Ghostbusters people.
That's right.
We have Slimer. Right now, he doesn't know it, but right now I'm actually working on a Tweety for Gil Durant.
Oh, no, a Tweety little robot.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, biddy.
That's right. He was voiced by Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc, that's right. That's Bugs Bunny. So, you must go through just metric tons of balloons a year.
Yeah, I have them on speed dial. But I do an order about every 2 to 3 weeks for a case. And I have a special place. I get them out of North Carolina.
Okay.
And I buy them both.
Oh, you'd have to. And probably how many colors do you go through? How many do you have?
Well, there's as many colors you want because they make anything you want.
Wow.
A lot of it depends on if I know a project ahead of time that I'm going to do. Like with the Slimer, you need a lot of lime green balloons.
Right, yeah, so you had to know ahead of time.
Right.
Very good, yeah.
A lot of gray balloons. Other than that, I just kind of get a rainbow assortment, and I let the kids pick out what they want.
Yeah, I know. In between doing these big creations, you do lots of smaller, traditional ones for the kids, and the little kids all just love it.
Yeah, we do everything from animals, both real and mythical, funny hats, armadillos, llamas, weasels, aliens, pretty much whatever they want.
Awesome, yeah. And I guess my last question then is there something that you haven't done yet that you're thinking about doing maybe and you have to figure out how to do it, or where do you think you're going next?
Make a lot of money. Haven't figured that one out yet. But I don't know. It all depends on what the next convention is.
There you go.
And who the guest is.
And you do, I said that last question, but a lot. You do conventions pretty much south, or?
Well, mainly in the south.
Okay.
It just depends on where we're invited.
Okay. Invited
to go. We've gone from North Carolina. We'll be going down to New Orleans later on. A lot of Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia. A lot in that area.
We need to get you up to Archon in St. Louis one of these years. Okay. They would love to have you up there. It's a show about the same size as this in St. Louis. So. Doc, thank you so much.
No
thank
problem.
You for coming on board. All right. Thanks. That was Doc Osborne, the magical, evil mad scientist of the balloons. And now I am back here at the Alabama Phoenix Festival with award-winning author Bobby Nash. Bobby, you were on a recent show, and so most of our listeners probably are somewhat familiar, but remind everybody what it is you do.
I come on podcast and talk about it. I write novels, comic books, short stories. I dabble in screenplays occasionally. I've written a couple audio things. I write stuff for money.
Yes, you do. And it's good stuff, too. Let's see. What do you think about the Alabama Film Festival? What kind of a time you've been having?
I love this show. I had a ball last year for the first one, and it was a no-brainer when they said, you want to come back? Absolutely. This is... one of the things I love about this convention that they do that I see sometimes it doesn't happen at all conventions is they are really good at promotion, getting people in the door.
And
I don't live in Birmingham, but even I know that they were on the news.
Right.
And so,
they even got me on TV.
Exactly, yes. So they're good at promoting
right.
and getting people in here. But in Birmingham, unlike Atlanta, where I'm from, Atlanta is inundated with shows. A lot of shows. A lot of good shows. I mean, there's a lot of shows there. And Birmingham, I get, doesn't have a lot of shows. But I'm the Birmingham fandom seems to be very incredible because I'm seeing people that came like here last year, and I'm like, hey, yes, I met you last year, and I picked up this, and I get, you know, or just say hi and thank you for coming, or
yep.
you know, I'm getting a lot of that where the people are just happy with me.
Right, yeah, and I have too. I think that part of it is, this is a big part of the backbone of DragonCon's crowd. They just take I-20 across Atlanta, and so I think they're very excited to have the opportunity to have their own little slice of DragonCon here in their own backyard.
Right, and this is a convention-heavy weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're here, but 2 hours away in Atlanta, there's Time Game, which
right.
is a fairly good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix Comic Con, now that's on the other side of the country, but yeah, Phoenix Comic Con, and I know there's a few others. And I just found out, just not 5 minutes before we recorded this, next year in Atlanta also, MobileCon is moving to Memorial.
Wow, right, okay.
So you're looking at several within 2-3 hours drive of one another.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yes, for conventions that have to buy for those people.
Right.
But I also think they're all good enough that it's close enough that, because we've been talking this up on our podcast, on the ESO, that, you know, you can go to Time Gate one day, or 2 hours away, you can come over here.
Come over here today?
Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely, yeah. And we've got a pretty good crowd today. It's been really good. I've been having a really good sales day.
Not bad.
So, okay. And then I guess my last thing then real quick is, what have you done lately, or what are you working on now that you want people to know about kind of coming out?
Okay. Well, lately it just came out. Moon Sons the Avenger, Roaring Heart of the Crucible just came
yeah.
out. And I have a story in that. So that's pretty cool. Actually, I've got them with this show for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been out a couple weeks. And I am slowly but surely working on my Fight Card novel and the Evil Intent novel.
Let me ask you about those two. Fight Card, tell us kind of what that's all about.
Fight Card is a line of smaller novels.
Okay.
I guess novellas, novelettes, whatever you're going to call it. And they release them primarily as e-books, but then they do print versions, I guess. You don't know if you can collect them and do print versions.
There you go.
And it's created by Paul Bishop and Mello. And what they do is their high card is boxing, fighting themed books. And they have a couple of like, they have the high card books, which take place in the 1950s and start boxing.
Okay.
Boxing has to be at the heart of the story. And there are ties, like at one point the characters interact with this school for boys in Chicago. And the past there taught a lot of boys how to box.
Okay.
So those are set in the 50s. They also do lines like Fight Card MMA, which is more modern day. And I understand they're talking about possibly doing modern day boxing as well.
Oh, okay.
So those are pretty cool. They're fun, very quirky style stories.
Okay. And then lastly, your Evil Intent, you said, is your new one?
Yeah.
You have like a series like that, right?
Yeah, Evil Intent is the second book after Evil Intent. It follows FBI agent Harold Palmer, basically just another case, another thriller. I'm about 60,000 words in there.
Oh, wow.
It's coming along. It's still got a little ways to go. And there's always other stuff in the pipeline. After I finish those two, it's on to Honey West and Domino Lane for Moon Sons.
You've always got stuff lined up, don't you? There's always something sort of waiting in the wings, and as soon as you wrap one thing up, it's on today. Right?
I know. If I said today that I'm going to stop writing after I finish my projects,
yeah.
open projects, I would still be working for another year.
Exactly. I feel the same way. All right. Bobby, thanks a bunch for coming on, and we'll let you get back to selling your books and talking to people, and we'll see you. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay. You good? right, and we're back at the Alabama Phoenix Festival now with artist extraordinaire Sarah White. Sarah, welcome aboard the White Rocket first. It's great to have you on here.
Thank you.
And our association goes back a little ways to you doing the color art for the most recent Sentinels book. What were your thoughts about doing that project?
I was super excited. You know, I'm always willing to do stuff to help out friends and out, like getting my name out there, showing the world what I got.
You got it. It was awesome. That is probably the best win of the whole series, I think.
Everybody I agree with you more.
I love it. Everybody loves it. What's your thoughts about the Alabama Phoenix Festival? How are you enjoying this convention?
Oh, it's awesome. I love it. I didn't get to do this last year, and I was super bummed. And so when I found out that I could make it this year, I was ecstatic. And it's awesome. You know, the events are great. The people are great. The energy is fantastic. I love this kind of scene.
Absolutely, yeah. What's been your favorite thing maybe you've gotten to see or do so far at the show this year?
Mostly, honestly, just hanging out in the Author Valley and the Artist Valley and, you know, talking to a bunch of other people and hanging out with other artists and writers and things like that. It's been awesome.
You've gotten to do a couple of sketches at least, right? What all have you been doing?
So far, I drew a picture of a little goth girl in a graveyard. I drew a picture of a 12-year-old Vampirella. And what else did I do? Poison Ivy, like sitting in a throne of leaves.
I saw that one. That was amazing. You just got mad skills. This is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, wow. All right. Well, what are you doing in the future? What have you got coming up besides? I know you got a couple of things coming up over the long haul for White Rocket. What else you got coming up?
Well, I'm currently working with Sean Taylor. He's rebooting his Fishnet.
I'm sorry that you're... No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I kid Sean. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's rebooting his Fishnet Angel series to be more of like a younger adult kind of series done in like an almost manga style.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be doing all of the artwork for that, and it's going to be telling some new stories and rehashing some old stories.
Well, let me ask you this, as you say that. How influenced is your art style? Well, you have probably different styles you can get to set.
Yeah, depending on the project, I can totally adapt to whatever you need.
But would you say that Japanese, the manga, animation style, how influential has that been on you overall?
Honestly, like a lot. You know, when I started out drawing, I was drawing from back before I came from like literally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was drawing like Dungeons and Dragons monsters and stuff like that. But I didn't really start getting serious into art. Now, I wanted to be a writer when I was little, until I realized that I can't write.
You're sort of the opposite of me, then. I'm amazing, but I realize I can't draw. How about that?
So when I realized I couldn't write, I was like, well, I'm not half bad at the drawing thing. And then sometime around like middle school or high school, a friend of mine introduced me to Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And after that was all I drew until I was like 17 or 18 years old. That's all I did was anime and manga. And, you know, I wanted to be a manga artist and work for Tokyo Pop and all that jazz. But then, you know, after like high school or so, I started getting other influences and my style started to mature a little bit. And I've moved beyond the very stereotypical manga and anime style, but it's still definitely an influence in a lot of the ways that I present.
But you, what's your favorite style, like right now, to kind of draw? Do you have one particular type of character, or one particular setting, or one particular style that really makes you happy?
One thing that I really like right now is I'm not drawing it currently, but I was doing a webcomic for a little called Fluffernutter. Me and my siblings when we were all little kids, and it's just done in this kind of like scribbly, cartoony style, drawn with like a chunky pencil and goofy limbs, you know, wiggling around and stuff. It's a lot of fun to draw. And that counts for a lot. You know, it's not the most technical, beautiful, gorgeous, whatever, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm. And for the Sentinels covers, you did Metal God, and we've got you lined up, hopefully, to do the next two.
Absolutely.
Awesome. You did the color art over Chris Kohler, my regular artist, doing the black and white art. What was your reaction and your experience with that, with doing color over somebody else?
Honestly, I was a little nervous because I generally don't do that. You know, I usually pencil ink and color all the way up.
Okay.
So I was a little nervous because I didn't want to, like, do his picture injustice. Because I got this picture in my inbox and it was gorgeous. And I was like, they're trusting me to do this? All right. Here's hoping I don't mess it up.
And you did great. You just knocked it out of the park. I'm so glad to have you coming up for the next two. I think that the all the Sentinels readers out there, many of whom listen to the show, will be very, very excited, I'm sure, to see what we have coming up on this last video. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on, and I appreciate you being on the White Rocket today. Thank you, ma'am. We do our silent virtual handshake. All right. Thanks a bunch. Okay, and now we are back here at the Alabama Phoenix Festival with Mike Gordon. Mike, tell us a little bit about what you do and why you're here.
Well, howdy. I'm glad to be here. I am actually co-host of the Earth Station One podcast.
You are the mothership of this program.
Yes, and also in my spare time, I'm also the I'm a publisher and a creator and a writer at New Ledger Productions. I have written and created a character called Tiki Zombie.
Awesome.
Where we just finished, we're working on issue 2 of that comic right now. And also, we've got a graphic novel of The Adventures of Scarlett O'Neill that we've completed last year. And just a lot of other fun stuff.
And I know, before we talk about your specific stuff, you do Earth Station 1, which
yes.
is the network that hosts this show. And I'm curious, I didn't get to ask Bobby this when he was on earlier. But how did you guys first get going with Earth Station 1, and did you have the vision for it being what it has become?
No, we don't have it. That would suggest we have some sort of plan.
There you go. Right.
No. No, actually, it was one of those things. I think it's just been, you know, serendipity, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always been interested in audio medium, from the old time radio stories to, you know, listening to the radio, listening to ball games, etc. There's something about listening to a sportsman on the radio. It's so much better than watching it on TV sometimes.
It definitely is, sure.
So I've always been interested in that. When podcasting first started, I got hooked, especially for the comics, Comic Geek Speak and some other podcasts out there were really inspiring to me, but I just didn't have the time, the wherewithal. And then Mike Faber was starting up Earth Station 1 I saw him on Facebook, and it was at that time it was just mainly a Doctor Who podcast.
Okay.
And so, but I listened to it, liked what I heard, and said, hey, what you're doing is cool. You know, I'd love to join you sometime. And then I think episode 18 was my first, and he hasn't been able to get rid of me since then. Then we've also broken out to, now we do have another podcast called Earth Station Who.
That's right.
Which is just devoted to Doctor Who, because Earth Station 1, we decided to make more pop culture and do other things.
That's really awesome, yeah. And I mean, you know, you've added my show, you've got a transmission from Atlantis, you've got Revolutionist F does their show now.
Yes.
It's really amazing how it's expanded.
I think we've got close to 9 to 10 shows now on
amazing.
The network, and, you know, all you guys are just making us look like fools.
Oh, yeah, well. We each raise the bar for the next one to come along to have to kind of jump even higher, but you guys continue to set the standard for excellence in this sort of thing, there's no question about that. With your incredible diversity of guests, and topics, and the various things that you do on your show across a long period of time, too. I mean, it has to be you have to be pretty dedicated, because you guys do, there's a big time investment that goes into how many, you know, into what your shows are.
Right, right. And we try to mix it up, and, you know, the main thing is it's a magazine-style format.
Right.
You know, we don't just cover one topic, and even on one show, you know, because we do rants and raves, and then we kind of talk about things that are on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll get into a main topic. You know, when we're lucky enough, we have interviews. We do the Geek Seat, and that's always fun to hear what different people are passionate about, whether they're fans or professionals. And then, you know, we end up with shout-outs and people can promote their stuff. And we do, like, a con report, so we keep track of all the conventions that are happening. We love going to conventions. And that's just the main show. And we do that every week.
Every week. It's so amazing. It really is amazing.
I mean, it's
like seeing somebody run a marathon, you know, every week. It really is remarkable. It's very inspiring, too.
I tell you what, a lot of credit has to go to, and I know this is being recorded, but I know he might hear this, but a lot of credit, most of the credit has to go to my favorite. I mean, he's the guy that is the glue to our station and our network. I mean, the guy works so hard. He's the guy that edits stuff. He's the guy that coordinates almost all the guests and everything. I mean, we all try to chip in here and there, but that's, I mean, ESO is my job.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And now, in our last couple of minutes, I want you to tell us a little bit about, tell us kind of what's going on with Tiki Zombie. What's this all about, your project?
Yeah, well, Tiki Zombie is a comic that I started a year or so ago. It's just basically a fun script. I worked together with an artist named Peter Cutler out of Atlanta. And he's just visually one of the most challenging artists that I've ever worked with. It's Tiki culture mixed with, now, the zombie would suggest that it's horror, and there is a supernatural element to it, but it's more like a Scooby-Doo type element to it, rather than a hardcore, eat your brains kind of thing. The way I look at it is there's a drink named a zombie, so that kind of gives me the in there with the Tiki culture, rather than the undead. Although our lead character, his name is Tiki Z, and he is a undead lounge owner. His head has been converted to a tiki sculpture. There's a mystery as to how he got that way, but we're going to leave it at that. Most of the issues are just fun little 8-page story cartoons that are very much inspired by the works of Karl Marx. And I figure if the 8 pages was enough for him, it sure is enough for me.
Well, there you go. Well, that's great. I don't know how anybody can possibly go wrong checking that out. Is there anything else that you're working on or have coming up that hopefully you know about?
Well, New Legend Productions is also coming out with Crypto Zoe. That's written by, I'm editing the book, but it's actually written by my New Legend partner, William Kilhorn, and it's drawn incredible art by the Atlanta artist Heidi Arnold, who's also done some work for Tokyo Pop. That's about a girl who is part of a circus family, and they go around looking for exotic animals to take into the circus, not to expose them, but to make sure they're protected. And that's been a fun series to work on. The art is gorgeous, it's well written, it's a good character. And we've got issue 2 of that coming out this year as well. We'll be at San Diego, we'll be at DragonCon. We like going to shows. To find out more information, just go to newlegendproductions.com.
Mike, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for descending from the mothership onto our little docking bay off to the one side with a rocket tuck. It's quite an honor to be part of your network, and you guys continue to be an inspiration to all of us out there trying to even barely catch up to what you guys do. So thank you much.
Thank you, man.
Good to have you on.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. All right, and we're back at Alabama Phoenix Festival again. Now we're joined by David Wright. David has joined. He actually was on the second episode, right, of this program, talking about the Dark Tower. And he is an artist, a writer, and he's been involved in sort of peripheral way with this convention too. So, David, welcome aboard the White Rocket.
Thank you very much.
What are your impressions, and what can you tell us about this convention that the average person out there? Maybe who has a chance to come and is thinking about for next year, what would they like to know?
Well, first of all, I'd say that I'm very excited and impressed with this convention. It's put together in a very, put together very strongly with a solid plan. It's well organized. It's a new convention. This is the second year of its existence. But it, it It runs completely smoothly. There's everything about it is just very impressive. It's done the right way. It's just a fun place to be if you like creativity and imagination in any form. It gears more toward genre stuff, sci-fi, fantasy. You see comic book fans, science fiction fans, artists, painters, authors, costumers. But I would say this. It's completely accessible to absolutely everybody. It's very family friendly. If you're not someone who walks around dressed like Spock, don't worry. You can still come here. You're not gonna you're not gonna feel out of place. It's just a chance. To me, what I love about it is I love being in an environment surrounded by creative people. I love the energy and the vibe that you get from just so much creativity. There's just a concentrated population of creative minds together, and the excitement and the buzz that's created from just meeting these people, talking to them, finding out what their projects are, kind of stuff you're working on, and it's just a very positive, exciting thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that says it all very well. In terms of how it's been put together, what has been your favorite thing that it's done or accomplished or we've had so far?
Well, as far as the events here this weekend?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say the absolute highlight for me was getting to meet Alan Bellman.
Mm-hmm.
He is an old-time veteran of Timely Comics. He started in 1942. He's one of the Golden Age artists. He worked, as I understand, from 42 to 57. He is the only artist left alive who worked on Captain America in the 40s.
Wow, yeah.
And he remembers, at the age of 14, buying Action Comics number one off the rack, which that alone is impressive enough for him to be on a panel.
Yeah.
But I had the honor of moderating his Q&A panel, and he was highly entertaining and just had lots of great stories. And it's just, as far as I'm concerned, a living treasure of just, I told him, I said, you know, Marvel Comics was not built in the 60s by Stan and Jack.
Yeah.
It was built in the 40s by all the guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys, and there's not many left. And it was just an absolute thrill and honor to be able to be a part of that.
That is really cool. And I'm curious, how did they end up finding him and getting him to come here? Did you know anything about that?
Well, I do know. The part I'm not sure about is I believe he was kind of lost to obscurity, and no one really knew where he was, and he wasn't involved in the con circuit or anything like that. But he had retired to South Florida, and as I understand, a journalist from Alter Ego magazine found him and interviewed him and made him a cover story. Basically, his artwork was on the cover of that issue, and that drew him out into fandom and got him back on the con circuit. And he really was able to start meeting fans that appreciated what he had done for Marvel or Timely. Now I do know this part for sure when it comes to the Alabama Phoenix Festival this year. He approached them. He approached Steve and Tim and said, "I want to come to your show. Is that okay?"
Wow, that's great.
So,
that's good for him.
So
yeah,
he sought this place out and came. And I have to say, you know, Alabama doesn't have anything else of this size for sure, and they don't have anything else like this of any size, hardly at all. And this is a huge thing, I think, for the entire state. And you know, there's only so many conventions in the South, and I think he just he lives in Florida. He found out about this one somehow and just wanted to be a part of it.
That's really great. That's awesome, and good for him. And it speaks well for the reputation of this convention that they. That they would attract somebody like that to come up and do that. That's great. Well, David, you've written a couple, three stories for White Rocket for different books. You've done some nonfiction stuff for like the Assemble books, right? You know, what are your thoughts about getting to do stuff like that? And do you have anything in the future maybe you're thinking about doing or would like to do with that and continue on?
I have two stories in your Sentinels anthology, Alternate Vision, which I absolutely love doing. And I also have a short story in Gideon Kane, Demon Hunter, which came together very easily for me somehow. I really enjoyed doing those. I really appreciate being a part of those volumes. I have tons of ideas for tons of short stories. and the time I have available to write is always short and is always frustrating me. But I can say that I'm sitting on a finished novel now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to put together cover artwork for it. I'm well into the sequel novel for that.
Awesome.
Probably 50 or 60,000 words into it. And I'm trying to not worry about the second novel until I can get the first one out.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get the artwork put together, I'll have that out. I've had people who are strong critics and will not sugarcoat anything, rip it apart and help me kind of, you know, refine it.
Put it back together again.
Put it together. And they think very highly of it. It has me very encouraged and excited. I can't wait for people to find out about it.
Well,
and I've got plans for short stories set in that same world. I got to get the novels out first.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I know that the reading public is going to really enjoy that. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Do you want to, can people find you anywhere or just on Facebook or?
Let me see. I guess you can find me at, I guess Facebook. Facebook.com/DefDave, DefDave.
There you go.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to check out Alabama Phoenix Festival. As they say, it's a celebration of creativity and imagination.
Right.
And you will be entertained by the people walking around in costumes, but don't feel like that's a requirement for getting in the door. it's a lot of fun. The whole family, you'll see, can get to meet a lot of very interesting creative people.
Thank you so much for coming on the Rock today, David.
Appreciate it.
All right, and now we're back now with Sean Taylor. Sean, welcome aboard the White Rocket.
Oh, thanks, man. It's nice to ride the White Rocket.
It is. Okay, we'll leave it at that. What are your impressions of the Alabama Phoenix Festival?
This is a show, man, I've loved since last year. Last year was my first attempt at this show, my first time to come, and it was so much fun. I really had a good time. I've been looking forward to this year ever since last year. I do very well. I think the audience is very receptive to writers and artists both, as well as the celebrities who are here. So it's a nice sort of multi-con light, you know.
I think everybody that I've talked to has had nothing but good things to say about it. So it's been pretty interesting.
And I will tell you this, the guys who are running this thing have done such a great job at helping take care of you that I get better treatment here than just about anywhere.
Absolutely. Right, speaking of this convention, last night you sort of were the ringleader, the organizer, the master of ceremonies of something that will live forever in convention infamy. What exactly did you have us doing last night, Sean? And how did you think of it, and how did it come about?
Well, Grand Inquisitor might be a better term, because I think I did torture people.
Yeah.
I got to play Drew Carey, basically, and do an author and artist Whose Line Is It Anyway, which was a blast.
Yeah.
I got several of us from our group. Who all was there? There was Kimberly Richardson and Alan Gilbert from Perlack. You were there, Van. Bobby Nash was there.
Alan Hammock.
Alan Hammock was there. And M.B. Weston.
That's right.
And we basically, I just had this idea that we should try it off. Yeah, writers and artists, they're some of the most creative people I know. And we should try something really creative and extemporaneous and just on the spot with them. And so I thought, I've always wanted to do a Whose Line party. I approached the guys, approached Steve and Tim in particular about it, and they really liked the idea, said, let's do it. And luckily, you guys were nice enough to not hate me and willing to give it a shot.
As far as you know.
As far as I know. And to embarrass yourselves. I mean, that was... that's probably some of the most fun I think I've ever had at a con. And thank God people got it on video, because it will be going up on YouTube at some point, I'm sure.
Lord have mercy. Yeah, it was pretty humiliating yet exhilarating at the same time. Somebody said, hey, you did a good job of the improv. I said it was just sheer terror. Sheer terror was what motivated that. Yeah.
Like I said, Grand Inquisitor is probably the best thing.
Well, that was awesome. I'm sure they'll be back next year. So if folks are listening to this and they're thinking about coming to next year's Alabama Big Festival, for that alone, I think you need to come out. I mean, that was fantastic. So tell us what you've had recently come out that you're pushing on the unsuspecting public right now, and what you got coming up.
I got several cool things out right now that I'm really digging. There is a book called The Old Weird South. That is so much fun.
Oh, it's my autobiography.
That's it. It's the next book about the football season in college.
There you go.
Book about all the crazy supernatural things that we believe in the South. Mm-hmm. And I was really drawn to it because I got my start as a Southern Lit writer doing, like, and the thing I always liked about Southern Lit was it had that same sense of magical realism to it in a lot of cases that like Latin American Lit did.
That's true. That's very good.
And so I got to play with that, and I love the idea of Sasquatch and Wendigos, and thought, what if this sort of Northern American Indian cultural idea meets the Southern American Indian culture idea, and how does it relate to the people themselves who live in a culture that is passed down verbally?
Yeah.
Memory and names are very important.
Yeah.
And each generation is tasked with passing down. And that's what I wanted to play with the story. So it's a little heavier story than I write in a lot of the pulp stuff. And speaking of the pulp, the second volume of All-Star Pulp Comics came out. Bobby allowed me to do a Lance Starr story for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Called Wingtips and Neckties, because it takes place on a plane with a noose. So, and that was a blast. Those two were probably the most current things. There's going to be the new...
you know who else has a story in that, by the way?
Some guy named Van Allen
Mexico. Yeah, yeah. The beginning case for it.
Yeah, I hear he's pretty good. I'd like to meet him one day.
Well, maybe you will.
But yeah, there's that one. Then we got the Ulysses King book coming out soon. As far as I know, that one's pretty much rounding up production, I guess, about now. I'm looking forward to that one. A nice science fiction pastiche, and then I really got to hunker down and get a lot of other stuff finished. You have to follow up with Ruby and do the new Rick Ruby story.
Oh, yeah.
So that we can still ride high off of those awards.
The award-winning Rick Ruby.
Well, yes, the Polpark award-winning Rick Ruby and the Mark Wheatley got the artist one for the cover artist.
Yeah, that's actually true. That we both worked on John Blackthorne last year, and it got Best New Character. And
that's right.
And then you got Rick Ruby. You got the Best New Character this year, so that's on a roll there.
It's been fun having Ruby. Yeah, Ruby's just a man after my own heart. My introduction to Hulk was the detective stories.
Right.
So.
There you go. All right. Any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Other than look for me online. I love to chat with fans. Love to meet new fans. Love to get a chance to, you know, just get to know you. And you can find me at taylorverse.com, TAYLORVERSE.com. Order my blog, which is Bad Girls, Good Guys, and Two Fisted Action.
There you go.
And it's at Sean H. Taylor, SEANHTAYLOR.blogspot.com.
Awesome. Sean, thanks so much for being on today.
Absolutely. All Do you right. think they can hear us shake hands like that? I hope so.
I've done it with every guest. I'm figuring that just the zeitgeist of it will get through the wire some way, and everybody will understand it happens.
That sounds good, man. I love talking with writers, because you can use them.
There you go. All right.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man.
And that will do it for this episode of the White Rocket Podcast and for the Alabama Phoenix Festival. Thanks for joining me and for joining all of my guests on this episode. And I appreciate all of them taking time out from the convention to sit down and talk for a little bit. I hope that you are able to enjoy that episode to its fullest. And like I said, I promise that we will do a much better job with the audio in episodes to come. Our time is up. As always, we thank you for yours. The White Rocket's going to get on out of here. Join me next time, and we will see you, as always, down the road.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.